Good morning. Welcome to Dose of Courage Community Church. Be sure to drop in the chat where you are viewing from. If you are with us live on Facebook and you want me to know who you are, be sure to give StreamYard permission. You only have to do it one time. You don't have to do it every live, but that way I can say what's up to you. I can shout you out. Okay, good morning from St. Lucia, Memphis in the house, Charlotte in the house, and Woodstock, Georgia in the house. PA in the house. Andy, I really feel like I need a DJ. I need a grill. Because I feel like I got bars. Las Vegas in the house. But it doesn't really count if I'm just saying the names of the cities. That's probably not considered bars, is it? Let me get into it. Again, welcome. I am Pastor Courage Molina of Dose of Courage Community Church. We are so excited to have you here with us on this beautiful Saturday morning. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, no matter what the weather is like outside for you, because you are alive and well and counted among the living. Amen, somebody. Boy, that sounded super churchy. That's okay. Dose of Courage is a Dose of Courage Community Church. We're a church, an online global church for women. The assignment of this house is to authentically teach the word of God so that it truly reflects who he is, his true character, so that it is relatable and can be applied to your life in every season, no matter the stage, no matter what's going on, you can still apply this good word to your life. But listen, while we are doing great work here through Dose of Courage Community Church, we could not do this work without you, so we need your support. How can you support us? Let's start with prayer. It is so important for you to cover yourself in prayer, that you would continue to be committed to your spiritual growth, to building your faith and pressing into quiet time with God. It is so important for you to pray for those that are near you, pray for those in our community, the ones that you see their names up on the live chat, the ones that you see in conversation on the screen when we get into the Zoom. Be sure to pray for the leaders of this church. That list continues to grow. So be sure to pray that God would continue to lead us and guide us and bring the people to this church that he has called to help us build here. It is also very important for you to get equipped. Now, listen, if you are going to be on the team, if you're going to help us to do the work that God has called us to do, you have got to be equipped and trained yourself. You cannot do that just, you know, Saturday morning is not enough, friends. Wednesday night Bible study is not enough. You need daily time in God's word, intentional, structural, strategic, effective time in the word. And these Bible study guides will help you to do just that. You can head on over to doseofcourage.org. You can also get them from couragemolina.org and download your copy today. We are in week 6 of a 16 week focused, so you still have plenty of time. You definitely want to go ahead and get that download today if you have not yet. You can also share the good news. Now, y'all know social media is really how people are finding out about new things. Someone just asked me, like, how did I find the person who does my lashes? How did I find the person who does my eyebrows? Instagram. I found them both on Instagram. People are finding things and searching for things on social media. It's not just memes and, you know, silly videos and things like that. So if you would take a picture of yourself wherever you are, do a screenshot right now and go ahead and share it on your social media. Be sure to tag us at Courage Molina and at Dose of Courage so that we can celebrate with you and share you on our page as well. Listen, last but certainly not least, we believe that if you eat here, then you need to sow here. Every single week that you come back, the expectation of this house is that you would give where you were fed. Now, if this is your first time, feel free to enjoy this. Meal is on us. Somebody else has paid ahead for your seat, for your spot, for your ability to be in the space today and get this good word that you're going to be fed today. But you can go to couragemolina.org/sowaseed. To give your tithes and offerings on today. Be sure to do that. Okay. I think that's it. What's up? I see y'all in here. Y'all are steady coming in. So glad that y'all are here. Listen, every single week I'm in here talking about a book I read. I'm like, oh, I just read this book. Let me tell y'all, or I'm telling y'all, giving y'all some insight or advice, or I'm changing something. God bless my community, because I'll be like, this is what we're going to do. And then 3 months later, we're doing something better and greater. I'm always changing it up. But the reason that I'm always reading is because I have a very strong desire to be successful. Like I mean, I'm not saying other people don't, but that is one of the driving forces of the decisions that I make, of the choices that I've made, of how I spend my day, because I want to be very successful at what I do. I don't want to be mediocre, and I don't want to be average, if I'm honest. If I'm honest, I don't just want to succeed. I want to be wildly successful. Is there anybody watching today that wants to be successful? I think if you're here and you want to be successful, drop your name in the chat for me. If you are watching this and you want to be successful in your life, if there's any area of life in which you would like to be successful, go ahead and drop your name in the chat. Let me see who amongst us wants to be successful. I don't think that people are like, you know what? I'ma fail this class. Yeah, I'ma just fail the class. You know what? I'm not gonna pass this test. You know what? I'ma get married. But I actually hope that this marriage ends in divorce. You know, I'm going to have these kids, but I'm going to just let them do whatever. Right? People are not saying, I'm going to start this business, but in like 2 or 3 weeks, you know, it's just going to go under. I'm going to do this launch. And I'm really hoping don't nobody sign up for this launch. That's not what we're saying. Nobody's saying that. Everybody wants to be successful. And so then the question is like, if everybody wants to be successful, then, you know, why aren't people doing X, Y, Z? Well, first things first is success does not look the same for everybody. What feels and looks like success for me is not necessarily success for you. When I think about the life that I want to have and how I want to live my life and what success is going to look like in my area, it may not look the same. It makes me think of this Kanye. I still haven't finished watching it, actually. This Kanye docu-series or trilogy where he's talking about how he has succeeded as a music producer and he's making money, and there are people in his circle or people that he know, they're like, yeah, man, you already made it. Why are you going so hard? And he was like, this is not my vision of success for myself. Like, maybe where I am is where you want to be, but I got aspirations. I'm aspirational. He's like, this is not what success looks like for me. I know what kind of life I want to have. And I just think it's very true. Success looks different to each of us. And so, but we still all at the end of the day want to be successful. So then we have to start asking ourselves, what does success mean to me? That's what we start to say. What does success mean to me? How do I define success? Well, I thought I would Google the word success and successful. I know that we're talking about the title. I know you saw it already, is wildly successful, right? Because I already say it. I don't want to be average. That's just me. Like, some people don't just want to be average. That's cool. That's not, I don't want that. That's not success for me. If I have to take a test or something, I don't just want to pass it. I want to ace it. You know, that's just how I'm built, friends. That's how I'm built. But I thought I would look up the words wildly, and I would look up the word successful. And so I'm sure, I don't want to tell y'all where it came from. I think it's probably dictionary.com. I mean, I literally just Googled it, and then the word popped up. So I'm not 100% sure. Don't quote me on that. Wildly, to an extreme or exaggerated degree. To an extreme or exaggerated degree. Now, when I think about successful, that's what I want. I want my success to be an extreme. I want to be an extreme success, and I want my success to be at an exaggerated degree. You know, you ever seen anything and you'd be like, boy, the Lord was doing too much. The Lord did too much when he did that. If you, I live in a city, I live in Charlotte, and every single spring and every single fall, I'm like, now the Lord was just showing out. He did not have to make that orange that orange. He did not have to make that pink I really like, you're really showing up. That is how I want my success to be. I feel like God's success and how he created things, he did things and he created beauty to an exaggerated degree, right? And that's what I want my success to be like. I want my success to be an extreme, right? To an extreme or exaggerated degree. Yes. And then successful is defined as accomplishing an aim or purpose. Accomplishing an aim or purpose. So that means that in order to be successful, in order for you to, okay, before you can even start being successful, before you can even start doing step one, step two, step three, before you can do any of that, this implies that in order to be successful, you have to have an aim or purpose. Somebody say purpose. Come on. You have to have an aim or purpose. Accomplishing an aim or purpose. So there is, I don't have a chance of being successful if I do not have an aim or purpose. Can somebody type in the chat for me purpose? So many times success eludes us, not because we don't have what's in us to be successful, because we are aimlessly making decisions. We are aimlessly going about our day. We have no real purpose for the choices that we've made, or the purposes that we've decided on are not really truly in alignment with what we see as a successful life for ourselves. Sometimes the purpose that we've decided on is not really one that we've decided on. It's really one by default. So if I am going to be successful, according to this definition, I have to have accomplished an aim and or purpose. I had to have accomplished a purpose. There's got to be this outcome, this intended result. There has to be a target. There has to be a destination. How do I know that I've successfully arrived at where I was going? I had to know where I was going. So in order for us to be successful, we have to have, you know, we got to have an aim. We got to have a purpose. And so today I want us to look at examples of wildly successful individuals. And I want us to learn how we can also, because that's what I'm in the word for. I'm trying to find out, how can I also experience the success of other individuals? I don't need for my success to look like theirs, but like they have been able to accomplish an aim, like they've been able to accomplish a purpose. I too want to be able to accomplish my purpose also, and to an extreme or exaggerated degree. Okay. And I start from a place of knowing that God did not create me to be a failure. He did not create me to fail. He did not create you to fail. He created you with a purpose. He created you for work. There was an assignment. There was work to be done. And then he created you for it. you were created for a purpose, and the command on our lives is that we would be fruitful and multiply. So God is already with you on this journey to be successful. You already have everything you need inside you. There is no way that we are going to do the thing that we've been called to do and somehow end up less than wildly successful. How can it be so? When the God who created all things created you, giving you exactly what you need for the purpose he had created you to do. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. So you have to first start from a place of knowing I have what it takes to be successful. I don't care what it looks like right now. I don't care what I've experienced in my past. I don't care what I'm struggling with today, but I'm trying to tell somebody I have been created to be wildly successful. He created me for a purpose. He's equipped me for a purpose. I just need to figure out how to do it. How do I do it? How am I going to do it? So I want you to come with me, and we are going to read from Mark chapter 6. We're going to be in Mark chapter 6, verse 6 through 13, and then we're going to skip down to verses 30 through 32. You should certainly have your Bibles with you. If you are new to Dose of Courage Community Church, you always want to have your Bible with you, as we do not put up the verses on the screen. I want you guys to build a relationship with your own Bible. I can't tell you what to do with your house, but I would encourage you to have a physical Bible that you could write in and highlight, not color, but you can write in and highlight so that you can go back and reference them in your time of need. We're going to read Mark 6, verses 6 through 13. Then we'll go down to verse 30 and read through verse 32. I hope that you are with me. This first part of the verse, it's not really applicable, but we'll start there. Verse 6 says, he was amazed at their lack of faith. Oh, today I'm reading from the NIV. I know I typically read from the ESV, but today I am reading from the NIV. Yes, I have a Beetlejuice mug. Don't judge me. Beetlejuice is one of my favorite movies. Okay. All right. I hope y'all are there by now. I did a little stalling for y'all. Chapter 6, verse 6, NIV says, he was amazed at their lack of faith. This is where we're really going to be looking. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Now we're going to go down to verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Amen. Would you consider the disciples successful? Just in general, right? Jesus called them and they went out and they did their thing. Would you consider them successful? I certainly feel like these are individuals who were successful. They had a aim. They had a purpose. Jesus sent them out to do it. They did it. You know, they seem like people that we might be able to learn something from. So then what does it take to be wildly successful? Let's take a look at what they had first, right? Before we get into that. It says, let's go to verse 7. Calling the 12 to him. Calling the 12 to him. Jesus called the 12 to him. They were called to Jesus first. They were called to Jesus first, right? He called the 12 to them. He began to send them out two by two. They were paired up. They were called to Jesus first. Then he put them in pairs. He put them in pairs and gave them authority over impure spirits. Then he gave them the authority to do what he was sending them out to do. These were his instructions. Then he gave them instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. He gave them instructions. Then the next thing they did, sometimes is where we get messed up. The next thing is they did the work. They did the work. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Then they returned with a good report. When they returned with a good report, it says that he invited them, right? So he said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. We know that this is just chapter 6. And if you continue to go on, you know that they are resting here because they've done work and there is yet still work to be done. They've done work and there's still yet work to be done. So we invited them to get into a quiet place with him and rest. So what does that look like for us? How does that translate for us? The first thing is let the word be your foundation. You want to be wildly successful. If you're thinking about when you should start taking notes, this is probably a good place to start. Let the word be your foundation. Not let the word be first in your life. And I said the word because Jesus called them and Jesus is the word made flesh. In the beginning was the word. That's John 1. The word was God. The word was with God, right? Jesus is the word made flesh. So the first thing he did was call them to him. But I don't want you to mistake that to believe that Jesus is first on the list or that you want the word to be first on the list. I don't recommend that Jesus be first on the list. I don't recommend that. I'm gonna say it again. I don't recommend that Jesus be first on the list. I recommend that Jesus be the foundation of everything that you do. Not the first thing that you check off and then you move on to other things, that you would not do anything that did not have a foundation that was built in the word. Not that you would start your day with the word and then you would go to work. No, but that the work that you went out to do would find its foundation, how you did it, how you showed up in the word. Not that you would read the word first thing in the morning and then you would go and, you know, take care of your kids. No, but that the taking care of your kids, the providing for your household would be built on a foundation of the word. Let the word be your foundation. They were called by him. Their calling, their assignment was given to them by Jesus. They were connected by him. The person that they were paired with, they didn't just spend time in the word and then go out and get their own pair. They didn't just get their calling and then went out to find their own partners in collaboration. Somebody, are you hearing me? They were connected by him. Their partners, their collaborations came as a divine introduction. You two are going to go together. It wasn't just everybody that they knew. It wasn't like, oh, we just going to pick who we want to go with. No, they had their foundation of everything they did was in the word. Everything they did, the foundation came from Jesus, from what Jesus said. So they were called by him. Where's your calling and your assignment coming from? They were connected by him. How many partnerships and collaborations and all these things we're going to do together where you are connected by God to work with those people. They were given the authority by him. They were not waiting on an authority from an outside source, from somebody else, from the religious elite. They weren't waiting for permission from the church or the synagogue or from the temple. They were not waiting for permission from the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Roman government, Roman soldiers, they got their authority from God. What else? They also got their instruction from God, what they would do and how they would do it in this season. They did not get it from what was popular. They did not get it from what everybody else was doing. They weren't worried about what God had them to do the last time. They got instruction for this assignment right now from God. I also don't want us to miss that they got their provision from him. Let's go to verse 8. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. So what are we going to eat? How are we going to take care of ourselves? Now, you didn't gave me an assignment, but you told me not to take my money. You gave me an assignment, but you haven't given me the things that I feel like they need. He gave them their provision. That right there speaks to a level of trust that I would leave all these extra things behind and I would just go and do what God has said for me to do. How many of you have gone anywhere? You've traveled? Let me tell you a little secret about me. One, I don't travel that often. I don't feel like I do. I feel like I've been traveling way more here lately going back home. But whenever I travel, I always pack a lot of stuff. And I'm telling you, it could just be like a spend the night trip over to my friend Amber's house. She lives, you know, if I'm going out there to the woods where she stayed, I'm probably spending the night. And so even when I go all out there, that's not that far from my house, I still pack a lot. I still have like 2 or 3 bags. And so it takes me some time to pack. And then after I pack, am I the only one that do this? I put everything in the suitcase or the bag, and then I take everything out. I just want to look at it one more time. I want to think about all the things that might happen, and I don't want to leave anything. I also take a lot of Bibles, or I'm trying to figure out which Bible I'm going to take. It used to cause me a little bit of anxiety. I have a software system now, so I feel a little bit better, but not much, just a little bit better. I pack a lot. I tend to overpack probably, but because I pack so much, you cannot be telling me, oh, let's go do this like in 10 minutes. No, I'm not going. I'm not going. I don't want to be like, it's got to be an extreme emergency. It's got to be an extreme emergency. I'm not going to be on no spontaneous trip. We going somewhere and you just telling me, but I don't have enough time to pack all my stuff. And I do need an extra shirt and I need extra leggings. I don't know why I think I need extra leggings. I'm not a kid. I don't play in the dirt. But I'll be like, oh, let me just take this. And I need 13 pair of underwear for a 2-day stay. I don't know what I think is going to happen. I've not had any accidents or any traumatic experiences, but I'm going to take 13 pair, even if I'm only staying for 2 nights. I'm just going to take all the underwear I got. I'm just going to take all the underwear I got and I'm putting it in my bag. I tend to overpack, but here's the thing. When you are getting ready to go somewhere, if you got to pack up all that stuff, that takes time, right? And the reason I'm taking all my stuff is because I don't want to get out here on the road and find that I don't have what I need. So for God, for Jesus to tell them, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts, wear your sandals, but not an extra shirt. It's saying just go as quickly as you can. Whatever you need, I'm going to provide while you're out there. Now, that might work if you invite me to come somewhere and you say, don't worry, you don't have to bring anything. I'm going to provide every single thing you need. Boy, that's going to have to be a really, really trusting relationship. And not just trust. I got to know that you know me, because what if you got me something I ain't going to wear or something? I don't know. It's just it right now. It's not even a real situation. And I can feel my anxiety. I can feel that my temperature is getting a little warm right now just thinking about it. But Jesus is telling them, y'all got work to do. Don't worry about taking all that stuff, packing all that stuff, wasting all that time packing. Just get to what you need to do, and I'm going to provide for you. So their foundation is in the word, even their foundation for their provision, right? They also find their rest where? In him. Not in the validation of others, not in the applause. Lady Gaga, I live for the applause. Not in the applause. They find their rest in him. So they have a foundation. Their foundation is the word. It's in the word. Let the word be your foundation, not just something you are checking off the list. You've been called into the marketplace as a business owner, CEO, entrepreneur. You've been called to lead a ministry. Let the word be the foundation for the decisions that you make. What is the vision for this business? What is the vision for this church? What is the vision for this mission? What is the vision for this project? Let the word be the foundation. your instruction, to give you the authority, to find your rest, to get your provision. Anything I need, I'm going to find it in the word. Because I need to go. Some of y'all are waiting to get all the things that you need. Some of y'all are trying to pack an extra shirt, wasting time. That brings me to the next thing that you need to know. They did not go it alone, though, right? They didn't go it alone. I'm not saying you can't start. I'm saying don't expect to be wildly successful by yourself and in isolation. Jesus had the 12, and he made sure the 12 had a pair. The word of God says, woe to him who walks alone, because when he falls, not if he falls, when you're out here doing this work, there's going to come a time where you're going to be down. There's going to come a time where you might be distracted. There's going to come a time where you might need to be encouraged. There's going to come a time where you might become complacent. And doing the work with someone else that God has connected you to is that part. Sometimes we don't want to go it alone, so we go with people that God has not connected us to. Abraham did it with Lot. Now, the Lord did not tell Abram to take his nephew Lot with him, okay? And then what happened? Abram and Lot, they out there doing their thing. The Lord blessing them. They getting their money up. Now, Abram's men and Lot's men are complaining and fighting. And Abram's like, man, we family. We ain't got to fight. Where we going to go? Like, you could choose anything you want. So then Lot goes off and does his thing. And Lot does what? Gets himself caught up. He in the wrong place at the wrong time. He done got caught up in somebody else's war. And word gets back to Abraham. Now, Abraham got to stop what he doing. Get his folks together and go over there and rescue Lot. Sometimes some of the trouble you find yourself in is because you have taken people with you, you have partnered with, you have tied your wagon to a horse the Lord didn't give you. He ain't tell you to go with them. He didn't tell you those people, right? He didn't tell you those people, right? So let's make sure we are in community and let's make sure we are connected. But make sure when you're connected, it's a connection that the Lord, that the Holy Spirit led you to. And not because they said so. Not because other person saying, oh, the Lord told me that we was going to do such and such together. And then you just go with it. Check with the Lord. Especially if this is the first time you heard of it. Now, sometimes a person will come to you and the Lord has already spoken to you. And so, you know, it's just confirmation you're good. But if it's the first time you heard it, friend, go verify with the Lord. But you can't expect to do this work alone. Let me say it again. You can't expect to do this work alone. Some of us are not wildly successful because we are trying to do all the things by ourselves. When Jesus had a posse, and you're not even Jesus. You cannot walk on water. We want to be wildly successful like Jesus. We have to follow the model. Not only did he have a gang, he made sure his gang wasn't left alone. Right? So that iron could sharpen iron. How your iron gonna get sharp? You the only iron there. It's just you all by your lonesome. No. You cannot go it alone. Do not go it alone. Do not expect to get to the highest level that God has for you. Don't expect to be wildly successful and you're going to walk that journey by yourself. I used to say all the time, great, you know, no one is great alone. That's something that me and Olivia used to say. We had a women's organization. No one is great alone. And if you meet somebody and they say they made it to the top by themselves, they got a lot of bodies buried. You hear what I said? You meet somebody, they self-made, they made it by themselves, no one helped them to do anything. Child, I'm trying to tell you right now, it's a lot of bodies buried. Please, run. Run, Forrest, run. Because no one is great alone. Nobody is great alone. Ain't nobody out here doing great things by themselves. You could be mediocre by yourself, certainly. You could be basic by yourself, certainly. You could probably even be low-key average by yourself, but you are not going to be great. You're not going to get to the aim or purpose that you have set out for at the highest level possible if you are trying to do things by yourself. do not go it alone. You want to be wildly successful, don't go it alone. You want to be wildly successful, do not waste time. Have a sense of urgency. That's another reason he was telling them not to take all this stuff. Now, people will use this verse, verse 8. This is why you got to know your context, friends. People will use this verse to imply, I don't know who this is for. But I'm about to set you free right now. People will use this verse to imply that you should not get paid if you are in ministry. Take nothing for the journey except the staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. People will use this verse to imply that if you are in ministry, if you see what you do as ministry, even if you are not like a church, if what you do is ministry, people will use this verse to imply that you should not be charging for what you are doing. If you are building people's faith, if you are making disciples of people, if you are teaching word, right? Courageous, shout out to Courageous Discipleship. I got a Courageous Discipleship program. And it's like, oh, you selling Jesus. No, friend, Jesus is free. This is the verse they will use. This verse is not about them not making money. This verse is about them not wasting time. Don't waste your time getting all that stuff. Just go. I'm going to take care of you. Don't waste your time doing all that stuff. Just go. Don't wait until you've gotten XYZ. Just go ahead and go. Having a sense of urgency, not wasting time, not wasting your time on all this extra preparation. He's telling them, don't spend your time preparing for this long journey, right? Because packing my bags is prep for the journey. Making sure I have my money belt and getting my extra tunic and all of those things. He's saying, do not waste time on the prep. Don't waste time. Right, with those things. He's also telling them in this instruction, don't waste time being concerned about rejection. Don't waste your time trying to convince somebody. Do not waste time. That's what this verse is also saying. This verse is not about you not taking money. This does not apply to that. You want to know about that? Holler at me during the week. Maybe we can have a chat about it. But that's not what he's talking about. That's not the point of this. That's not why he's saying this to them. He is sending them out to do great work. He is sending them out to preach, to heal, and to cast out demons. He does not want them wasting time packing all their bags. He wants to send them to the people who are ready to receive them. He does not want them wasting time on people who don't want to hear what they have to say. The point here, do not waste time. Have a sense of urgency. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. You have a message to give. You have something that you are putting out there. You get to that place and those folks don't want to hear you. Jesus said, brush the dirt off your feet, shake the dust off your feet. Jay-Z says, brush the dirt off your shoulder and keep it moving. Now, this is old school. This shake the dirt off your feet. Jews back in the day, in Old Testament, I said back in the day, the Jewish community, the Jewish tradition back in the day is that if the Jews went through a Gentile town or something and they were traveling, as they left that town, they would shake the dirt off of their sandals to signify that there was no connection between them and those that were not Jewish, right? That did not follow the same traditions as them. And so what Jesus is saying, you're going out to preach this message of repentance. Anybody who rejects you, brush that dirt off your feet to signify to them, we want no parts of people who are not following Jesus, right? Stop chasing after people who are rejecting your message. Come on, that's for courage. Come on, that's for me, y'all. That's for me. Stop chasing that. Stop being concerned. Do not waste time trying to convince somebody that what you has works. Stop trying to convince people that this message that you have is the message that's going to free them from debt, that's going to help them in their marriage. They don't want to hear it. Brush it off. Keep it moving. Why? Because you don't have time to waste. There are other people in other towns that need your energy and need to hear that message. Brush the dirt off and move on. Do not waste time gathering all the things that you think you need to have, and do not waste time trying to convince people. You need to have a sense of urgency about the assignment that God has given you if you want to be wildly successful. Number four, see it through. Actually do the work. Now it's sad that I gotta say this, but it's got to be said. Sometimes we are not wildly successful because we won't see it through. We are great starters. It's exciting. It's exciting to start something. Oh my gosh. It's so bright and it's shiny and we're starting something, but then we don't see it through. We don't actually do the work. We get excited about the program. We get excited about the ministry. We get excited about the impact and the possibility of having influence and the way our lives could be. We get excited about that. But then when it is time to do the dang work, you're not doing the work. In order to be wildly successful, you gotta actually do the work. You have to see it through. Just because you hit a bump in the road, he said there were going to be bumps in the road. Just because everybody ain't feeling you, he said somebody ain't going to feel y'all. When y'all get to a place and those people ain't feeling y'all, dust that dirt off y'all sandals and keep it pushing. Chuck up your deuces and kick rocks. Keep it moving. Right? Not I got a bump in the road and so now I'm gonna stop. Oh, now things are getting difficult, so now I'm gonna stop. No, see it through. You gotta actually do the work. And you gotta actually do the work with authority. Some of y'all out there doing work like you are, like you snuck in. Some of you are doing work like you snuck into a room and you're pretending to do work, but you're not really supposed to be there. Some of you are walking into spaces like you snuck in and you don't believe that you belong there. Some of you are stepping into conversations and being invited to the table, but you quiet as a mouse, not doing the work that God has called you to do because you're still trying to figure out if people are going to realize that you don't have the extra belt and the extra t-shirt and you ain't got as much money as them and you ain't got XYZ. You don't have the same training. So now you've been invited to the table. You quiet as a mouse. You're not doing the work with authority. Every statement that comes out your mouth sounds like a question. Everything that you say, everything that you do seems like you are asking for permission to breathe in and out. You got to see it through. You actually got to do the work and do that work with authority because you've been given authority. Stop doing that work with the question mark. Asking who? Can I do what? And I'm telling you this not because I have mastered it. I'm telling you this because I want you to be wildly successful. And I intend to master it and be wildly successful. When I first started the church, it's funny to say now, when I first started the church, there were so many decisions I didn't make. I just didn't make any decisions. I was back and forth about stuff. Now, I am typically a person who makes decisions, good, bad, or in between. And I'm like, well, it'll be fine, right? I'm just going to make the decision. But when it came to leading a church and saying, hi, my name is Pastor, put some respect on my name. And before I got to the place where I was like, put some respect on my name, I was waiting for permission. I was waiting for somebody to give me permission to be a pastor. I don't need nobody's dang on permission. The Lord has given me the authority. When he called me and he gave me an assignment and he gave me instruction, he also gave me the authority to build his church. He also gave me the authority to rightly interpret and preach and teach the word of God. He gave me that authority, even if don't nobody else want to hear what I got to say. Even if other people feel like women shouldn't preach. Even if other people feel like I needed to do something else. The Lord gave me the authority, but I was in spaces with other people behaving like I had not been given the authority to do this work. So I was doing it technically. I used to love a technicality. I was doing it technically, but I wasn't doing it with authority. That's why I haven't, that is the thing that will keep us from experiencing being wildly successful. Because we are waiting for, you don't need, Listen, you don't need permission to pour out love to somebody who has hurt you if the aim is to reconcile the relationship. You don't need to wait. You don't need to, and I know somebody's disagreeing with me. Guess what? I have the authority to speak the truth. We do not care. If you have been put in your heart, it's on your heart to reconcile a relationship with somebody, I don't even care how much they've hurt you. I don't care if it's your friend, your sister, your cousin, your bestie, your friend from a long time ago, your spouse, your mama, your brother. I do not care. If you have the capacity and the aim to reconcile the relationship, guess what? God has given you that assignment. He's given you the capacity to love, and you can actually see it through. Don't go through withholding. And I know somebody's like, but you can get hurt again. Okay, well, if you're worried about getting hurt again, I suggest you stay in the room somewhere. Because not only will people who have hurt you before hurt you, people you ain't never even met, when you meet them and you think they're going to be good to you, people you are feeling with for the first time, they will hurt you too. So if your plan is to never be hurt, friends, stay in the room. But if your aim is to reconcile a relationship, God has given you the authority to do that. He's given you the capacity to show grace and mercy. He's given you the capacity to love and forgive. Do not be tiptoeing. Go into that thing with authority. Let the Lord protect your heart. I'm trying to protect my heart. Guard your heart with the word. Guarding my heart with the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to see that thing through. Actually do the work. You have a great idea for a ministry. Okay, great. You got it set up. Okay, great. Are you doing the work? Some of y'all are like, yes, I'm doing the work. We meet, I'm doing XYZ. But are you doing it with authority? Are you doing it like you know that the Lord in heaven gave you that assignment? Or are you doing it like you are afraid somebody gonna find out that you don't have the credentials to be in that space? I know we're doing the work, but are you doing it with authority? And are we seeing it through to the end? You know how you're seeing it through to the end when it's done. Moses asked God, how will I know that it's you, Lord, that's sending me? He said, you will know that I've sent you when it's done. Which, in my opinion, is not a great confirmation. I mean, I'm like, okay, so I'm going to know you sent me when I do it. But I was hoping for a little bit, sign or something right now. He was like, no. He told Moses, he was like, no. You're going to know that I sent you when it's done. Some of you, you've been assigned to work, but you keep stopping. You don't know when to stop. You know when to stop when it's done. That's why you need to set your purpose, set your aim, know what the target is, know what the destination is. What does success look like for me? What have I been set out to do? What is the assignment? Is the assignment done? Is the assignment complete? No, it's not complete. Okay, well, that means I got to keep working. Y'all know I was a classroom teacher, and I always wanted my kids to do the work. My high school students, I taught Spanish. I wanted them to do all of the homework. Right? Even if it was difficult, even if they were going to get it wrong. So what I did is for homework, I gave them a 100 for completion, a 100. Anything less than completion, I did not accept. And now it's late, and late work gets you a 50. Okay. Right? Because my purpose in doing that is that they would follow the instructions, they would sincerely attempt to do the work, and even if they got some of the answers wrong or all of the answers wrong, if they actually followed the instructions, I still gave them a 100 in the grade book. But the key to that 100 was completion. We could have 100 problems, and I would explain it this way. If we have 100 problems, and the last problem has part A and part B, and you do 99 and a half, I'm not taking it. You're taking it back. It's late. Because I want you to work on your homework until it's done. How will I know when to stop? When the timer goes off? When I think I've gotten to a place? Some of you are quitting because you thought it would be done in 30 minutes. You thought you would be done in 3 days. You thought it would only take 3 months for you to start. You thought it would only take, 6 months. You thought that by now, a year later, that you would be doing something. You thought that it would only take 18 months. And now that you've met the 18 months, but your assignment is not complete, you think it's time to quit. No, you know when it's time to quit, when it's time to say, okay, I've done this, when it's done. However long that takes, when it's done, that's the marker that I'm finished, because I'm actually finished, not the amount of time that's lapsed, right? So we have to see it through and actually do the work with authority. Last but certainly not least, when you listen, because here's the thing, success is, yes, success is a destination. Success is when I've come to the end of something. I know people are like, oh, success is in the journey. Respectfully, I disagree. I think there's joy in the journey. I think there is learning in the journey, but I don't think that success is the journey. I think that success is the completion of the assignment. I haven't succeeded because I'm working on it. I've succeeded when I've accomplished it. And so I truly believe that we are going to be called to higher and higher heights. So this is assignment number one. When I get from here to here, then I'm going to take some rest and then I'm going to get my next assignment. And so I think that sometimes though, overachievers, if you're an overachiever, say, here I am. I want to make sure my overachievers are leaned into this next part. My overachievers, I want you to say, here I am, right? Some people ain't getting the work done. And so you feel like, oh, she ain't talking to me because I always finish my work. But this is why you're not wildly successful overachievers. You've achieved a lot of things, but you still have not gotten to the place that God has for you. You overachiever, myself included. Overachievers, where y'all at? Let me see you say, here I am. Overachievers, when you succeed, take a break. There was a goal. The goal was to outline the podcast. The goal was to whatever. This was my end. This was the work that I set out to do. This was the aim. This was the purpose for which I set out to do. This is the thing that I set out to do. When you do that thing, because they went out, they did it. Let's look at verse 12. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And then verse 30 says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. That means when they were done with the assignment he gave them, they came back to him, because I know there's another assignment. And what he told them to do. Now listen, then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. He gave them an assignment. They went out. They were successful. They came back to the one who is the giver of assignments. People don't give me assignments. Y'all do not tell me what to do. People do not tell you what to do. Please take your assignments from the Lord. Take your assignments from these folks. No, honey, I don't care who you are, what your name is, what your title is. You are not the boss of me, and you not. And I will not be listening to you unless the Lord is saying the same thing, okay? They didn't let the people that they met, tell them what their next step should be or what their next thing should be. They returned back to the one who sent them out. And when they got back, it wasn't that there wasn't any work to be done when they got back. It says right here, then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, we came back to town. We're back to our home base. We're back to get our next assignment. Before we can get our next assignment, there are all these people waiting. There are all these people waiting here, looking for us, waiting for us, all of this stuff. So, okay, cool. Some of us would just continue to work. We'll be like, oh, the people here. So I just got to, people right here, they still need us. People want to, there's a lot of people that's out there. We need to keep doing it. The Lord told us to do it. The Lord was like, it's a lot of people. You know what? Y'all, come on. No, y'all come on out the crowd. Come on. Hey, Peter, grab John and them. James, get your brother. Tell Nathaniel. Come on, y'all, come on. I know. But there's people like, I see the people. Y'all come on over here.
y'all come on over here. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Get in a quiet place with God. And get some rest for the next round. Don't be out here like the Energizer Bunny. Just going and going and going and going and going and going and going. Get some rest. Get some rest. I did these retreats. I was a coach with Patrice Washington for her Mastery and Momentum program, right? And there were two cycles of it. And so we had retreats. And so what had happened was the two cycles would have two retreats, right? But one retreat would be between the both of them. What does that mean? It means we would have one retreat for one group. And then at that same time would start the retreat for the next group. And so when we initially talked about it, we said we were going to have a day in between, that we would do a retreat for the first group. We would have a day of rest and then we would do the next retreat. Somehow, some way, we did not do that. I don't know how, what had happened. But what had happened was we did one retreat. That retreat left that morning. We had a live event. And then the retreat for the next group started that same night. We were so utterly exhausted for the second half of that retreat. It is like a blur to me. So exhausted. I can tell you this, that first group, without question, got better quality from us. Not intentionally. That first group got better quality. Why? Because we were well rested. They were the first ones. You think that you are doing somebody a favor by stacking things up back to back to back to back to back. But the truth is, the longer you go without rest, the worse your efficacy becomes. You're not as good for the 10th call as you were for the first call when you are not resting in between. So now I'm still not able to be wildly successful. Yes, I went out with the authority. No, I didn't waste no time. No, I didn't go by myself. Yeah, I went out. I actually did the work. But your problem is you're going to be experiencing burnout, or people are not going to be experiencing the best from you. Only that first group got the best from you, and all the subsequent groups are getting less and less of you. Are you understanding me? Overachievers. Me, I'm talking to myself. Let me look at myself. It's me. I'm an overachiever. There needs to be time for rest. Right? There needs to be time for rest. And you are resting because you know the work is not done. You're resting because you know the work is not done. And I think it's so important for us to pay attention to the fact that he's resting. They're resting in God. Come into a quiet place and rest in me, right? I'm not talking about relaxing. I said rest. I'm not talking about Netflix and chilling. No, I love a good Netflix and chill session. I'm probably going to watch 227. That's what I do on Saturdays that I don't go out. I get up, I get my breakfast. After we're done here, we go, we have a conversation. I talk to my homegirls, and then I lay on my bed right over there, and I watch 227. Let me tell you something. That's relaxed. That's not rest. Before I can get on a call with them, before I can start to relax and watch 227, I need to rest in him. Turn on a couple of songs, lay back, and be like, okay, let me tell you what we did. So I gave a word today. I thought I did pretty good. What you think? How you think? This is what I did. This is what the people said. This is how many people was there. This is how many people put comments. Mm-hmm. And then we got in a conversation, and then this is what happened. I'm giving report to how things went, and I'm getting by myself so that I can rest in him before I get into my next thing. Some of us are relaxing, but we are not resting in God. And so then we're not getting filled up. Do you understand woman of purpose? Do you understand, woman of purpose, that the work that you've been called to do is ministering? Do you understand that? Hairdresser, nail tech, lash tech, teacher, childcare, dispatcher, creator, YouTuber, coach, hospitality, realtor, finance, attorney, whatever, woman of purpose. Do you understand that the work that you've been called to do at that law office is ministering? And because you are not a standard lawyer, right? Woman of purpose who's been called to foster children, woman of purpose who's been called to raise children, your full-time ministry, right? And I mean, you don't work outside the home. You don't have any other responsibilities. Your full-time focus. God has called you to household management and taking care of these kids. Do you understand that that work is ministry? If you understand that that work is ministry, then you know that we do ministry work through the Holy Spirit, and we have to be filled up. We're not doing it off of motivation and inspiration. We're not doing it off of Kind bars and protein shakes. That's not us. Our work is not being done or just our own intellect and our own savviness and our own gifts and our skills. The work that we do is by the Holy Spirit, and that requires that we get filled up in order to do the work. You need to be filled up before you start teaching those children. You need to be filled up before you start counting that money. You need to be filled up before you start laying that wig on somebody's head. You need to be filled up before you start getting on these coaching calls. You need to be filled up before you start consulting and managing properties. You need to be filled up before you go to take care of somebody's baby. You need to be filled up before you go to that hospital, because you've been called to the front line as a minister. Stop acting like we like them. We not like them. We different. What? We different. We are different. That requires us not just to relax. That's why you are mentally exhausted. That's why you can't keep up the good work. It's why you're getting weary and well doing. Because you are not plugging into the source after the work is done to rest in Him. I want you to consider, which of these things that we talked about is keeping you from being wildly successful? I want you to think about where you need to start. I want you to consider how many lives and families and communities would benefit from you being wildly successful. Some of you are talking yourself out of setting goals that would allow you to be wildly successful because you're okay with the comfort level that you're in. Baby, this call is for you, but it ain't about you. The assignment has been given to you, but it is not about you. It is about those that your life will touch, that your success is meant to do something for. I want you to think about how many lives will be touched through you being wildly successful, and how many lives and communities and people in your family that go untouched because you continue to play small. Maybe the thing that's keeping you from doing it is that you truly do not know Jesus. Maybe you have not started to build a relationship with Jesus. You've just been going to church. Maybe you just grew up going to church your whole life, but you never invited Jesus into your heart. That's not your ace in the hole. He ain't your A1 since day one. You feel like you've been doing this work by yourself anyway, and church is just something that you do on Sunday when you get to a certain age, because that's what we do, right? Maybe you feel like you know God, but you don't actually know Jesus. And so today, if that is you, we have first got to start with that foundation. I want you to say this prayer with me. I want you to say it aloud with me if you would. Lord, I come asking for the forgiveness of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus, your Son, died for me. I believe that He died so that I might have eternal life. I believe Jesus rose from the dead, and I ask you today to cleanse me of my sins and to take your rightful place on the throne in my heart. Lord, today I commit to following you all the days of my life. Amen. Listen, if you said it and believe it, that means that you have accepted the gift of salvation that Jesus died on the cross for you to have. And I want to welcome you into the family. Welcome, friends. Welcome. Welcome. We are so excited that you are here. Listen, if you've said that prayer for the first time, I want to know, please send us an email at praise@couragemolina.com. Right? Let us know that this is your first time coming to Christ. We want to put some things in your hands. We want to help you to get connected. Right, to help you get started. We don't want you, listen, we want you to be wildly successful in this faith walk. We do not want you to go it alone. God has introduced us. It is why you are here in this place. There is no coincidence. You are here coming to Christ with us for a reason. Get connected. The Lord is pairing you with this house and this community. Maybe you are returning back to Christ and you've decided to rededicate your life to Christ. We'd like to hear from you as well. You can send your email there and let us know. Or maybe you just want us to know that, baby, you are so excited to be counted among the members of Dose of Courage Community Church. We'd love to hear how this church is blessing you, changing you, and impacting your life and your community. We would love to hear from you. Now, listen. This is not over. We are not done. First of all, be sure to subscribe to the channel if you haven't. If this is your first time here, subscribe. Go ahead and hit that notification button. Make sure you set your notifications to all. Y'all know they like to switch up these algorithms. And sometimes you'll see us, sometimes you won't. So I don't want you to miss us. Go ahead and set your notifications to all, okay? Make sure you like this video. If this has blessed you, like this video. This is how other people are going to find us. We want to put YouTube to work for the church. We're going to employ YouTube. YouTube is building for the kingdom as well. And how we can help YouTube build for the kingdom is by liking this video, sharing this video, and commenting. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't. Now, we know we are not done. I would love for you to join me for the next 60 minutes in conversation. I like to hear from you. I want to hear what things you intend to work on, because you got inspired here, you were motivated, maybe you got a revelation. I want to hear about your plans for application, because that is where true transformation takes place. Bars, you got a revelation. I want to hear about your right revelation so you can do your application and get a transformation. Bars. I told y'all all I need is a beat. I could be a rapper. No? All right. I love y'all. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us here, whether you are live or watching the replay. Thank you so much for being a part of what we are doing here. Don't forget to give if you want to help us do what we're doing for more people. All right. I love y'all, and I will see y'all in the zone. Come on over.